And so I want to talk to you today on this topic. Oh, and it's also good to have Bree and Bryson Schultz with us. They're home. We call it home. They now reside in Newport, Arkansas. And he's, I don't even know what your title is. It's whatever. If you get in trouble, he's probably going to know about it in Newport, okay? And so glad to have them here with us and their boys. They were part of our church family for several years here. And I think we're going to start charging Bryson like $50 a week because he actually got set up with Bree here at the church, and there ought to be something here, you know. And she's still with him, so I'm thinking, man, that's pretty cool. So that ought to be worth $50 a week, I guess. And so, there you go. That's right. Did some work up there, yeah. So, amen. Done a lot of work up there. And there's kids and stuff, so amen. Well, I want to talk to you for the next little while on a topic that everybody has done, will do, is doing at some point in many facets of your life. I want to talk to you about the race. The race. As you can tell, it's been a long time since I've been in a race. Amen. I told you about a race on Wednesday about me cheating to beat Lexi. Got a little cramp coming in. And I had to cheat at my age to win over a 7-year-old, okay? I'm not ashamed of that. It's the only way I could win. And I still lost. Those young people, they don't hurt like we hurt when they run or race. Amen. They just go and laugh at you. And so I want to talk to you about race. The race. Your race. The Christian race. The relationship race. The God race. Your personal race. I want to talk to you about that today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, it says this, Do you not know that in a race all the runners run? Duh. Think about that. You just look at the Bible and say, okay, what's your point? Yeah, if you're in a race, you're probably running, right? But you know what? That gives us an indication that somebody can be in a race but may not be running. I've signed up for a few races, and when I was in high school, they'd call it scratching. When you took yourself out, you scratched. You scratched yourself from the race. Oh, you signed up, and everybody thought you was running, but you, in your head, you had already scratched even before you put your pencil through the name. The race. The race. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Kind of does away with this thing. Everybody gets a prize. Everybody gets a trophy. I participated. Yeah, okay. It's a race. There's winners and there's losers. There's winners and there's losers, and you get to decide whether you win or lose. That's so cool. Before you ever start running the race, you get to decide, do I win or do I lose? That is so cool. Because when I was in track, I didn't get to decide that. I get to decide it, but I had to be faster than the next guy. Not all of them, just faster than the guy that was going to be faster than me. Only had to beat one guy. That was the fastest guy. Come on, think about it. You don't have to be faster than the other 90. You already got faster than the fastest guy. That's all you had to do is beat one guy. Problem is, you didn't know which one of those other 7 or 8 guys was the fastest. And you had to run hard. You had to run fast. Verse 25 says, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. Y'all know why I'm not an athlete anymore? Little Debbie. I don't have self-control. I'm sorry. I can tell my wife, do not bring them to this house. I didn't bring them for you. I brought them for the grandbabies. Mr. David, I'm telling you, she'll bring them in, and the babies, grandbabies ain't got a chance. Do you hear me? Before you go to bed at 10 o'clock, you get you a glass of cold milk and a little zebra cake. Come on, somebody. They say, well, you shouldn't lay down on a sugary stomach. Okay, what's your point? I just told you I didn't have self-control. Have self-control in all things, and they do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. An athlete, when I ran track years ago, I wanted two things. Three, but two, they kind of go together. I wanted to win, so you get the blue ribbon. I wanted to stand on the top of the podium, not the third place. That just, well, it's not even showing up to me. I was a little competitive. And I wanted to be sure that the ladies knew who won. Come on, somebody. Hey, man. I can say that me and my wife are comfortable in our relationship of 36 years. Amen. She wasn't in the picture then. I hope she don't want me to start running. I'm telling you, we're in trouble. Amen. But runners, they run to get something that'll fade away. I have no idea where all of the ribbons and trophies are that I won. Have no idea. I found some several years ago. I think my wife threw them away. But when I dug them out of the box, I'd noticed they had been somewhere where there was moisture. And, you know, they make those trophies out of really good wood. And the bottoms would begin to deteriorate. And the nameplates of the glue had gotten hotter, whatever. And it had turned loose. And it just looked like a normal old, everybody else's old trophy that we find in the trash. But at the moment I was running for the race, that was the most important thing. If I can get the trophy, if I can get a trophy with my name on it, I have won. I've won the race, and man, do you feel good about it, and that is great. But the Bible talks about those rewards, those winnings, they're perishable. They're just going to fade away. It's just, I'm not this guy's fan, but Bruce Springsteen, 40 years ago, came out with a song, Glory Days. Some of you remember. It's okay. You can go back that far. We'll say that's pre-conversion, okay? And he talked about glory days. He talked about how all the stuff was when they were in their prime and when they were doing good and they could get away with eating Little Debbies and still run the race. They could get away with the cheating just a little bit and still be good. Glory days. And that's what happens when we run this race, Rusty. We just get, whoo, full of glory. And it fades. And then we embellish the story to our kids and grandkids how good we were. Papa was so good. Now, my little seven-year-old, she's sharp. She would say something like, yeah, but you couldn't even beat me. You didn't beat me the other day, Papa. You got to do better than this. I mean, come on. Verse 26 says, so I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. You ever shadow boxed or whatever? Now, probably Bryson back here, he probably does, you know, kind of stay in shape in case some nut comes at him. He's probably got a big bag and, you know. But Paul's saying, I don't run this thing like I'm just beating at the air, because you don't beat up anybody. Nothing happens to the air. Nothing happens. It's all right. His name's Rowdy. They did it. Amen. He's hungry. He heard Papa say, Little Debbie. He said, I'd like to have one right now. Thank you very much. And so Paul's saying, it's like you can't run this race, and it's not like shadow box. It's not like pretend. Nobody's there. Nobody's on the other side boxing back. It's like, man, you win all the time. You got the greatest moves. You got the uppercuts. You got it all. You win. There's nobody there. I watched a John Wayne movie once. Imagine that, me watching a John Wayne movie. It's called The Shootist, his last movie, by the way, 1976. And he's teaching Ron Howard, the young guy, to shoot a gun. And Ron Howard learns how to shoot. And man, he's so good, man. He's shooting the bottles off the fence, you know, like they do in Westerns. He says, man, look how good I am. And John Wayne says this. Yeah, you're pretty good until somebody's over there shooting back at you. See, that's when it counts. So what? You can hit a bottle on a fence. But can you stand there in bravery and firm enough when somebody's there doing the same thing to you? That's what this race is really about. The enemy is out to kill you. It's one thing to kind of go through life and come to church and raise your hands when everything is okay. It's like shadow boxing. But when the enemy comes at you, can you stand? Can you finish the race? That's the question. This is the real question. Can you finish the race? You get to determine who wins or not. You do. Before the race ever starts. That would be so cool. Line up in the box, starting blocks, and get ready to go. I ain't got a race. I already win. The problem is, and that sounded good. Positive thinking. Glory to God. Here's the thing with that. The other seven people on the track, they had the same thought. They thought they were going to win. So we all had to race. So I want you to, let me read one more scripture. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Uh-oh. You know what that means? There's a continual training. There's a continual mind fixed. Psalms 26 says that to keep your mind stayed on Christ. There's this constant thing that you got to constantly train and constantly be ready for the race unless you be disqualified. There's many ways to be disqualified in a race. You can jump the gun. You can get out of your lane. You can drop the baton. You can run over in someone else and try to trip them. There's many ways you can be disqualified in a race. There's many ways that you can be disqualified, if you will, spiritually. You got to be on track. You got to stay on target. So I want you to watch a video. I got three videos today, and you can play the first one, whichever one you want to play.
And then it's the United States in lane number six. Christian Coleman, the fastest starter in the world, will lead him off. Then Fred Curley, Kyrie King, and Courtney Lindsey with Noah Lyles and Kenny Benarek in the 200-meter final tonight. All right, the best starter in the world, Christian Coleman, gets out of the blocks for the United States, fourth from the top in lane six, and he's created a little bit of a lead. Here comes the first handoff to Fred Curley. He is away with it, and here goes the Olympic bronze medalist down the backstretch. Great Britain getting that leg from Hinchliffe, you expected, but the Americans make another clean pass. Kyrie King has the stick. Just one more exchange to come for the United States. King with it. He passes it to Courtney Lindsey. Take a deep breath, America. They got the stick around, and they are running away with it here in round one. The American 4x1 is on to the final.
Man, I tell you what, that gets you excited, gets you all worked up, gets you pumped up. Man, it's like, oh, yeah, go, baby, go. I get out of breath watching that now. I used to love that race. Loved it. I mean, wow. You know what made them successful? Not just one person, but three other people. There's four people on that race. Did you hear what they said? The best starter out of the blocks in the world. I'm going to say good. He's the best in the world. That's who they had first. And if you notice, you paid attention, the second guy was the bronze medalist in the Olympics. He's pretty good, too. You could say he's third in the world. So they had the world's best starter, third best guy. I don't know who the third guy was. Didn't say. Didn't give any accolades. He's just there. He's along for the ride. He's like, woo. They give it to the last guy. And the last guy, he thinks that the rest of them forgot to show up. Come on, he just runs away with it. But had it not been for number one and number two, and even number three, number four wouldn't have won. Because about the fastest time a person can run a 400 meter is around 43 seconds. They're doing it faster than that. They're in the 30-something seconds. What I'm saying is you're running your race in life as a Christian. Sometimes you have to, more than not, lean on your church family. You got to say, I am not doing this by myself. I am going through this thing, and I'll mess up. I'm going to come up short by myself, and I need somebody around me who's going to help me. Now, here's the deal. Come on, give him praise. Here's the deal. You can't surround yourself with just anybody.
Amen.
See, they had the best of the best. See, a high school track guy wouldn't have helped him any, wouldn't have helped that team any. These are trained, disciplined athletes. They don't go home, Billy, at night and eat a little dip and drink a box of milk. They don't do that. These guys, if you ever see them, they'll get to the end and they tear off their shirt and it's like, good Lord, man. Looks like a washboard. Just squares of muscle. And I'm thinking, here's what I think. I got the same muscle, just covered up. You do have the same muscle, by the way, just covered up. But he surrounded himself with the right people. That coach put together the people that said, they have the best chance to win. Why would you not do that as a Christian? Surround yourself with the best people that'll help you win this race. Paul says, don't be disqualified. Run the race. It's tough. That's why we have a church family. So I encourage people, almost to the point of pushing you too much, come to church. We need you to come to church. You need to come to church. You may have a word for somebody that just encourages them. They may not get anything out of the message. It's just a preacher preaching again. But someone comes up to you and says, you've been on my heart. I've been praying for you. And I want you to know, I know what you're going through and I love you. What? That's all you needed to hear. That gives you hope. Come on, somebody. Running a race. Sometimes, watch this. Sometimes you don't have to run it by yourself. Sometimes you don't have to run the race by yourself, as we just saw. It takes four. I did used to run races with relays, and I ran races by myself. You know what it does when you're running by yourself opposed to when you're running with somebody else? What was that word? Pressure. See, if you win, you get all the glory. If you're by yourself. If you lose, you get all of that stuff too. Whatever that stuff is. But when you're running with somebody, the Bible says that I can come along beside you and help you carry your burdens. Oh, they ain't mine, still your race. But I can help you through that tough time. I can help you through that storm cloud when it's raining and you can't see the sun, but I can. Come on, somebody. Next video.
So who's going to succumb to the adrenaline first? Van Niekerk is running blind on the outside and he set off really quickly. Kerani James in hot pursuit. He's already up onto the shoulder of Matthew Hudson-Smith. And Merritt is tracking the Grenadian. The American, the short Merritt, closing the gap on Kerani James. And Van Niekerk still wide on the outside. These three are away and clear. Sardinio's trying to come back into it on the inside. And the short Merritt coming back at Kerani James. But it's Van Niekerk leading at the moment. The South African now beginning to tire. Or is he? He's pulling away. It's an unbelievable victory by a huge margin. A century of history and 40.
Facebook and run. 43, if you saw it, the 0-0. Whew, that's moving. That's moving. He ran that race by himself. Guess what he had to do to run that race by himself? He had to train his body by himself. He had to discipline his body by himself. We just read Paul's talking about this very thing. He had to train and discipline. He had to put people around him to help him, but he had to run the race by himself. May I tell you that it is your race? You'll have to run this race yourself. It's yours. But you can't have help. But you have got to start and finish. You have got to do the things away from church that disciplines you, that trains you, that says, I'm going to win, and I got to do it by myself, but I have to do things by myself too to win the race. It's your race. How are you going to run it? I can tell you how you run it. I used to run. You run the way you train. You'll run a race the way you train. Training is the key. Matter of fact, without good training, you lose every time. You can be fast. But if you don't train properly and know how to run, you lose. I had someone tell me one time, I was running a 400 meter like this guy. I like that race. 40 years ago. Not so much now. I was talking to him, said, how do you run a race? He said, man, I just run wide open. I just take off and run wide open. I'm thinking, yeah. I can do that too. Here was the problem. It's the only time I ever got beat in that race, by the way. Here was the problem. I was listening to the wrong person. Because the person was telling me this. We were friends. We didn't attend the same school. But we ran the same race. I come to find out later in my stupidity that he didn't run that race like that. He waited for old Marto to tire out, and he just cruised on by me. My dad told me, you screwed that one up, son. Well, he's true. It wasn't a question of whether I could win it or not. It's how I ran the race. See, when Christ is on your side, it's not a question of whether you can win it or not. That's irrelevant at this moment. It's how you run the race. How do you run your race? I learned how to run that race. Didn't take but one time to make a mistake and have your daddy say, boy, you screwed that up. He wasn't belittling me. He wasn't demeaning me. He just knew that I knew how to run the race. And I got bad advice. And I listened to that bad advice. And guess what I did? I took up on that bad advice, and it messed me up. And if we look at it from the spiritual side of things, you get bad advice sometimes. Oh, meaning well. You just get some stuff in your spirit and you start doing that, and that don't help you win the race. You need to win the race. It's winning the race. Amen? If I can have my worship team, where are they at? I don't see a lot of them at this moment. I see two there. I want the whole team. Whole team. The whole kit and caboodle, as they say. I want you to watch, as they're getting in place, I want you to watch one more video.
This might be the greatest track and field comeback ever. As the gun fires, Quincy Hall explodes out of the blocks, holding his own against the competition. But as they hit the 200-meter mark, disaster strikes. Quincy starts fading badly. The curve is eating him alive, and his face says it all.
He's fading badly at this point, Lee!
Pain, exhaustion, defeat. Everyone thinks it's over. But then, out of nowhere, he digs deeper than ever before. It's like he unlocks something superhuman. What happened next left the entire crowd in shock.
Quincy Hall is digging deep! Quincy Hall is running past all of them! Can he get there? He does! It's gold for the USA! Quincy Hall with the most epic comeback!
And this is why.
If that don't get you pumped up, nothing will. That was last year in the 2024 Olympics. Got way behind, but dug deep to win. Greatest comeback of all times, they say in track and field. Was favored to win, has accolades a mile long. I searched him. Started winning races big in high school. He was the guy that was going to take the USA with no question. And you see how people gave up on him about the halfway mark? Something went wrong in his life, in his legs, in his body, in his breathing. Something wasn't lining up. And at halfway, the commentators began to give up on him. He's fading badly. Oh my gosh, what's happening to our favorite child? Church, I think it may be time that we stop giving up on people halfway through the race. Did you notice though, after he, not the commentators, they weren't out of breath, but after the Quincy Hall began to dig deep, and the commentators noticed, look at the pain on his face. Sometimes you gotta run through the pain. Sometimes you gotta run through the hurt. Sometimes you gotta see the enemy. You will see the enemy out front beating you. But you don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't say, it's impossible. It's only impossible if you quit. Because the Bible tells me with God, all things are possible. So don't give in to the idea that I'm not going to win. I've done messed up too bad, too far in the race. I'm not going to win. I'll disappoint the world. So I'll just quit. Don't quit. Don't quit on God. Don't quit on your faith. Don't quit on your family. Don't quit on the gospel. You keep running. Nowhere does it say it's going to be easy. He says, finish the race. Run the race that is before you. Your race may look a little different than mine. Come on, somebody. Run the race. Here's what Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 says. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fail, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, the Bible, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I may have not run in vain or labored in vain. Run the race to win the race. Don't shadow box it. Don't run it in your mind. Run the race. Run it in your spirit. It's time that we get up off the Christian potato couch. Run the race. Stand firm. Hold what you got. Do your best. You may not win every race, but finish the dadgum finish line. Cross it. Get across it. Because you can win. You keep practicing and you'll win. One of the greatest motivators in my entire life when I was running track, the greatest motivator. So you have 400 meters. Start, go all the way around. At the last corner, right in the middle, that's what they used to call the 300 meter or the bear den. Because that's where the bears seem to get on your back and just drag you down. That's how you learn to run the race. You had to be ready for the bear. Well, my dad knew all this stuff. And my dad would strategically find a place himself in the bear den. Come on, somebody. I'm going to run. He would strategically put himself in the bear den. You ain't listening to what I'm saying. Where he knew trouble was coming, Carl, where he knew pain was coming, where he knew there was going to be the most difficulty in life, somebody put themselves in the bear den. And before I get to the bear den, I could hear my dad say, "Come on, son. Don't you give up yet. Come on, son. You keep running." And as I passed that bear den where that thing was supposed to happen, that encouragement, that uplifting word from my father kept me running. And as I passed that, I could still hear him. And as I crossed that finish line with all the cheering, I could almost hear my dad's eyes leaking because I had done such a good job. Come on, son, don't give up. Come on, son, don't give up. Come on, daughter, don't give up. Come on, don't give up. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other. My dad would always, or a lot of times, not always, but a lot of times we'd finish a race and he'd come to me. He was not an emotional guy. Do you hear me? Zero. He'd say, "Son, you're picking them up and setting them down today." You know, that's all it took. Pick it up and set it down again. Pick it up and set it down one more time. Pick it up and set it down one more time. I'm here to encourage somebody today that you just need to pick it up one more time. It's your race, and set it down. And when you get done with it, pick it up one more time and set it back down. And you keep picking it up and you keep setting it down and you'll gain momentum. But what we need is we need some people. We need mamas and daddies and grandmas and grandpas and friends. We need you standing in the bear den. We need you promoting us. We need you calling out our names in prayer. We need you encouraging us in the bear den. Because I'm here to tell you where we are in life today, we are in the bear den. We're at the 300-meter mark. This thing's about to wrap up. I'm here to tell you, church, it's about to wrap up, and we need some encouragement. We need a phone call. We need an encouragement from those who are helping us run the race. Who's going to be in the bear den for you? Who will you be in the bear den for? Pick out somebody. You Christian saints have been here a while. Pick out somebody and say, I'm in the bear den with you. I'm going to be encouraging you, and I'm praying for you every day. I'm lifting you up in prayer. I believe in you. Just keep picking up your feet and setting them down. I just believe that's where we're at in our church. Pick it up one more time. Pick it up one more time. Set it down one more time. One more time. That's all I ask you to do is one more time. Give me one more step. One more step, Scotty. I just need one more. David, one more step. Dale, I need one more step. Miss Peggy, one more. Just one more step. I need one more step. I just need another step. One more time. One more time. One more time. It's your race. We're here to help you. We're here to help you. It's your race. If your family can't help you, are they really family? One more time. As the worship team begins to sing, You say, Pastor, I'm struggling with one more time. Yeah, me too. Yeah, me too. I just need you one more time. One more time. Ronnie, one more time. So maybe that's where it's at, just one more time. Try it one more time, Jason. One more day. Jeffrey, one more day. One more step. You know, we used to call this gut check. You know what a gut check was? It was for you to find out what's in here. What's in here? It's a gut check. May I tell you that your spiritual race is a gut check. What's in here? What's in here? Shannon, what's in here? That's where it's at. A gut check. Won't you stand with me across this building and you say, Pastor, I'm going to take one more step. If that's you, I want you to take one more step. I want you to come to the altar. I'm going to pray with you. Just one more step. I want to pray with you. We're going to have a team of people that's going to come and pray with you. I want you to come. Look, don't pass this up. This is training. You're in training. The Bible said that we discipline ourselves to run the race. In other words, you train yourselves in advance of the race to run it. If that's you, I want you to come. One more step, one more time. I need some men right here. I need some men right now, real quick. Ladies, right here, real quick. One more step. If you're wanting prayer, I want you to just kind of stay by yourself just so I know who you are. Hallelujah. One more. Come on, give him one more step. Give the Lord one more step. One more step. I need some ladies right over here. One more step. One more step. I need some more men right here too. I need some men right here. A couple of men right here. I need one more. One more step. You may feel like you're going under. You may feel like you've been defeated, but I'm here to tell you today that God is still positioning you. He's still training you. You still got a race to run. Don't you give up yet. Don't you give up yet. Who's going to stand in the bear den? Pastor, I don't even know how to pray for people. Well, get in the bear den and just begin to lift them up. Call out their name. Encourage them right now. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Jesus, I was tossed in the water, but I never went under. You were always on time. Jesus, when I went through the fire, you were right there beside. You always on time. been a day, never been a minute, never been a moment that you weren't in it. There's never been a time that you didn't see me through, God. So I worship you. There's never been a day, never been a minute, never been a moment that you weren't in it. There's never been a time when you didn't see me through, God. So I worship you. There's never been a day, never been a minute, never been a moment that you weren't in it. There's never been a time when you didn't see me through, God. I worship you. There's never been a day, never been a minute, never been a moment that you weren't in it. There's never been a time when you didn't see me through, God. So I worship you.
Forgot that he was supposed to be helping me. Maybe time got away from him. It didn't. It didn't get away from him, Rusty. It didn't get away from him. He's an on-time God. Every minute, every day, every moment, he's been right there. It may not seem like it, but he's right there. He's right there. I hope you came today and you got ministered to by the Holy Ghost. Because if you come looking for something from me or the worship team, boy, you're disappointed already. Here's what I know. The Holy Ghost is in the bear den. He's in the bear den. And he's encouraging you, and he's praying for you. The Bible tells me that I have an ever interceding Father. I don't think y'all know what that means. I mean, he continually standing in my bear den saying, son, get up one more time. Woo! One more time. Love you. I'm glad you let me preach again. One more step. Say, do it one more time, Arvell. I love you. You let me do it one more time. Hallelujah. We're gonna dismiss this way. Our worship team, if you'll, will y'all just play that as we leave out here? I think it's good. We fix to go run a race here tomorrow, this afternoon. Some of you may even start that race in the car. Come on, you may even run into the bear den. Come on in the car. Because the enemy loves to do this. He loves to start something like that right out of the bat, right out of the gate. He wants you to get a cramp in your relationships and wants you to forget all about what happened here today. Win the race. Win the race. One more time. Let me bless him and y'all worship, okay? Father, we ask, Lord, we find favor with God and with man. That your face would shine upon us. Oh, that job promotions, increases, prosperity, and raises would come our way. And that peace would rest over every rooftop. That when we lay down this afternoon and tonight, that we would find sweet sleep to our spiritual souls and our physical bodies. In Jesus' name. And everyone says amen. Come on, worship team. You're dismissed to go.
When I